Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And yeah, you heard that right, everybody. It's Chris again. Not Corey. No
AI this week. No lies being told.
No lies. Are you sure, Corey?
Jiggle, jiggle.
I mean, you can say that, but...
Jiggle, jiggle.
Stop.
We're not doing this again. I've had this thing for Commander Shepard since high school. I don't know if it's the big guns or the big, you know, wink, wink. Actually, I think it's the buzz cut. Yeah, the buzz cut.
Yeah.
I mean, the buzz cut is nice.
Hot takes, yeah. What else you got, Corey?
My money don't jiggle, jiggle.
Yeah. And anything else? No. Okay.
Well. I don't think so.
No. Well, that's maybe all he's got.
Just we'll see. Oh, man, fire Chris out here preaching the word.
Yeah. I was going to try and use those more organically, but hey, just shotgun them right out the gate, everybody.
Oh, they're just, I'm going to say anything and it's just going to be like, what'd you say? Beep.
Yeah. I did think about trying to like predict some of the direction of where we'd go today and just have some witty comebacks about it. But you know,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I wanted to keep the authentic Corey in here. But yeah, everybody, sorry about last week. For one, we did not have an episode. We skipped a week. Life happens. More specifically, like Chris just wasn't super feeling it. Life was just like was there, and I was like, you know, I could just not squeeze in an episode right now.
It's like we said, life is hectic. My sure hobbies be. So
yeah, we're living it. Yeah, you know, what do you think, AI Corey?
Oh man, fire Chris out here preaching the word.
Yeah, I know.
I knew it.
Yeah, I really need to stop using the AI because it does distract me a lot, because then I don't really it breaks.
You just lose wherever. Yeah, it just breaks. Yeah. It's like, wait, we're in a podcast.
But Corey, how's your week been?
Been pretty good. A couple of weeks ago we had a chungus of a pod. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a double chungus of a pod.
Big old double chungus, they like to call it.
Yeah, been playing lots of games. Been just trying to take it easy in this early part of the year. And yeah, all around, can't complain. What about you? Yeah.
Not too bad. A lot of work, I've still managed to actually to fit in some gaming time. I had a little bit, we'll get into it, but had a little bit of a lull in between Hi-Fi Rush and Octopath that I just jam-packed full of some stuff and, you know, had a little bit of fun with it. And I'm also playing Octopath Traveler 2 now.
Same.
Spoiler alert. So that's where we are.
The back half of this podcast.
Yeah, the front half. We got to play catch up, Corey. A lot of stuff has happened in the time. Some of the stuff kind of happened, like PSVR 2. PSVR 2 is out.
Yuck.
That's actually happened since we started recording last, I don't know. That happened. There was a state of play.
There was.
There's...
with some cool drops.
Yeah, reviews have been going on. So, yeah, Corey, are you excited about PSVR 2?
No, I'm not. I was going to say, there's also a... just cut you off at the knees. No. PSVR 2. VR feels so... it's did you ever see Mean Girls?
Yeah.
When they're like, Mean Girls. It's great. Yeah. I can't remember her name, but she keeps saying fetch and it's like, stop saying it. It's not going to catch on. That's how I feel with VR. It's just stop. Like, this feels not like a waste of money and time, but a little bit of a waste of money and time. Sorry, I'm bashing you. I will give. It's VR is just not my thing.
And, yeah.
It feels like a lot of effort as well, just to play a game in VR as well. It feels a very tough barrier to entry into it.
It does. I mean, I think have you played VR anything?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of get motion sickness from stuff like that. So I think that also plays a factor into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, take my word with some bias.
I've played, I have a nephew. Well, I actually have multiple nephews who have multiple Oculus Quests, Meta Quests, as they're known now. So I've played some stuff. I've played Beat Saber. I've played Super Hot in VR.
Yep.
I've also played other things like Five Nights at Freddy's and Rec Room and stuff like that in VR. And yeah, I mean, like, that's the, like, stuff like Beat Saber, super cool to see in VR. Super Hot, also pretty cool. I've heard Tetris Effect now on PSVR 2, also very cool. But I also, like, I have... As I've gotten older, I've gotten a little worse with motion sickness to the point where it's like, if it's the wrong day and I'm riding in the back of the car, I don't feel great. Like,
yep.
I'm starting to get to that point. And VR really has made me feel not great in certain aspects. It's specifically the games where they have the, like, where you yourself... Like, you move with a stick, so instead of you are moving or you're teleporting, like, you just move a stick and your person moves, it, like, breaks my brain in such a way as I feel like I could vomit on the spot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a weird thing. Like, I feel like there's so much in tech that gradually makes its way over to, like, this big consumer platform in, like, a big way, and it almost kind of feels like it's a reverse. Like, I feel like the stuff with VR that I think seems the most interesting is the, like, very specific use cases in very specific fields, where it's like, you know, they're training kids who want to be firefighters on VR, like, firefighting rigs, or they're training, like, people who are getting their forklifting license on, like, virtual forklift, like, stuff like that, where it's like, they're using it in these ways that allow them to train better or to use their job better. Like, stuff like that, I think, is a really good application. But I agree, it is something where, like, VR, it feels like there's just such a forced thing with VR of, like, okay, we have this technology, we have to put something in it. Namely, I mean, I haven't played it, I don't know, but, like, namely, like, Horizon Call of the Mountain. Like, putting a Horizon game in, or if they were to put, like, a God of War game in VR, like, could it be really beautiful and interesting and look at the vistas? Yeah, it could be really cool. But it does seem like it's just kind of, well, we had to make something. We had to use our VR for something. Let's might as well make this big budget, whatever. Meanwhile, stuff like Beat Saber exists, stuff like The Last Clockwinder or Before Your Eyes are these other, like, games that have been on VR or coming to VR that make really good application of it. And I think if they had, like, in 10 years, if VR is still a thing, I think there will be, like, a really solid library of these, like, must play games where it's like, you can buy a VR headset and you can, like, load up these 24 games that will blow your mind with just the experience you will have on it. But I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you get 2 of those a year. And
maybe
if that, and they're, you know, they do legitimately just kind of like, whoa, I didn't even know that I needed this, but I think it's so infrequent. And I think a lot of stuff is just like, it's a port. It's just an excuse to put something in VR. And for me, like, more power to it. Like, my nephews who range in age, but are all, like, teens to like preteen, late elementary school, like they love it to death because they're just who they are. That's their, that's their mode. That's their thing. For me, being an old man curmudgeon, I, you know, it's not, I don't know. I want to want like a VR something, but I wouldn't like, I wouldn't use it. I wouldn't, it makes me sweaty. It like, I just don't want it in my life.
I think it, for me, it's just such a thing where you have to put on this big head piece set. You know, you connect it to your PlayStation or whatever device that you're using usually, and it's kind of a chore just to get ready to go. Yeah. And then on top of that, I think VR will probably eventually make its way when it's just an when it's like a little visor you put across your eyes, like just a big pair of sunglasses or something like that, not a full like motorcycle helmet. It'll be a little bit more popular, but with just how expensive the VR2 is, I think it's what, $650 or something like that.
I think it is I think it's $550. I think it's okay. Six with the Call of the Wild.
Them, I don't know what it was that I maybe. Saw.
Yeah,
but so it's essentially the price of the full PlayStation 5 console, right. Which, you know, you're looking at just a huge financial barrier to entry with that. Yep. I'll give the VR2 props in that it looks like it has a pretty substantial library dropping with it, which is more than I think the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X or whatever it's called now can say. It looks like they're putting a lot of effort into it, so I'll give them props there. But it's just, it's one of those things where the technology is cool. I feel like it'd be something, if I ever did pick it up, I'd play it like maybe twice a year. So it's, you know, kind of a waste of money on my end. Not for everyone though, but it feels 5 to 7 years away before it's like a, from, that's just my opinion. I don't know enough on the technology and where it's going to really give like that kind of frame, but it feels like 5 to 7 years from now is when it'll be in a place where it's more accessible, more financially feasible to pick up.
Yeah.
And they'll just have the technology down better. But I don't know if it'll ever be for me. I really just enjoy sitting back on the couch, controller in my hand. That's just old man me, but yeah. I don't know if that will ever go away.
Yeah, I don't know. We're moving into that stage where we're locked into our ways and there's no changing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No.
Nothing you can do about it.
Nothing wrong with it either.
Yeah.
In some cases, in this case, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Briefly, Corey, state of play, anything out of that that you like?
Oh, what was it?
Just adored.
Yes. Was it Teach? Teach? The.
Chia. T-C-H-I-A. Chia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The, it looked Polynesian inspired.
Yep. Yep.
Gave me really big Moana vibes.
Yeah.
I love Moana. For those of you who didn't know, I'm a big Moana guy.
I like Moana as well.
But
yeah, it's also, yeah, you hear a lot of people compare it to like Wind Waker too.
Yeah.
Like if you never left the first island, just playing around, just being a kid on the island.
Looked very good. It looked fun. The art style I really enjoyed. I think the music playing in the background of the trailer was just like really captured my attention. I'm like, okay, this is hype. Oh, it's going to be on the PlayStation Plus collection and or PlayStation library. Is it this month or is it next month?
I think it is this month. I think it's March. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something I'm going to play like right away.
Yeah.
Very excited for that. Looked very cool.
Yeah. I didn't watch it live. I actually didn't even know it was happening. So, I just kind of saw it afterwards, but yeah, there wasn't like a ton. Chia was there. They showed off a few more characters.
Resi for 4.
Street Fighter 6, more Resident Evil 4. They showed Suicide Squad, which was
not good.
Not great. I think a lot of people are somewhat sad at the fact that, like,
it's really disappointing.
Yeah, I think people like held out hope that with Rocksteady having made the Arkham games that like wouldn't go that
insanely
direction.
Insanely good.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think like plenty of people looking at the trailers and people who have like, I think had hands on, they're like, oh no, it's fun to play. It's just, it sucks that it's a live service game with always online that's designed around like, you know, this four player co-op thing instead of being more
almost a looter shooter.
Right. And I think that that's the disappointing thing is it's like, man, like remember when they announced Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad? And I was like, shit, we're about to get in it with some Batman. Like, and
this it's is like, the cream of the crop. This is right. Like, the, like chef's kiss. Yeah. It's like that. That's the pinnacle of like the praise I can give. And now it's just kind of doo-doo.
Now, yeah, it's very, very possible that both of those games are disappointing to everybody. So, hopefully not. I mean, I could be surprised, but does not look great. The biggest surprise, legitimately, to me, Baldur's Gate 3 coming to PlayStation.
Duck in August.
Yeah. Not just a, hey, yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 will come to PlayStation at some point. It's like, no, it's coming in August. Like it's gonna be there. Ironically, it's coming to PC and PlayStation in August. Xbox is just kind of TBD. Like it's usually kind of an opposite thing where, you know, Xbox is getting that Xbox PC kind of like co-op there, but yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about it though. It looks
I'm dope. So freaking excited about it. They confirmed so many things too. Online co-op saves.
Yep.
I have a whole list because I sent it to two of the guys from my D&D group, and I'm like, boys, this is happening. Here we go. It is exclusive next gen, split screen co-op across the entire adventure, cross save progression, full DualSense support, and August 31st.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah, very excited. They also, I think the weirdest thing to come out of it for me was they showed off a new Naruto game.
It's the Naruto Shippuden Boruto Collection. It's all of the games are... Gotcha. Releasing as a one package, kind of how Kingdom Hearts did the
1.5, 2.5, all we're all connected now.
Well, they also dropped the all thing, the full thing of Kingdom Hearts. Every game you can buy in one package.
Yeah. So, which is cool. I mean, I thought it was a brand new thing, which it like in my head was like, what else? I mean, I know that Boruto is a thing, but like what else are they gonna throw in there? I've played a number of the Naruto games and they're really good. Like they're a lot of fun.
Shockingly good.
I think it's just like it's at the point now where it feels a little daunting because like I mean I've watched and read a lot of Naruto and even still like it feels like there's so much that like I never saw and know nothing about. So every time they show one of these trailers it's like I don't recognize half of what's happening here. And it makes it difficult to kind of jump back in whenever it's like this is like the thing. If you want to get back into it, you're gonna be in this for a while. Similar to like One Piece in a way.
Oh, I mean, One Piece is like three times the size of Naruto and Boruto together. But no, I mean, I've read, watched, and seen most of Naruto, and there were some things where I'm like, this seems familiar. I'm missing something somewhere. I know. But still, it's very cool. I know they're adding a lot of the. They're adding new characters that were obviously revealed much later on in the series, Naruto and Sasuke's original ancestors, because there's,
yep.
We don't have to get into your spoilers for anime that's been over for a decade now.
Oh, God. Who even knows? Like that. I think so. It's, something.
Yeah, something like that. It's very good, though. If you have any inclination of watching Naruto, you should do it, whether you have or have not seen it before.
It is. I mean, it is a surprising, like, when you look at it, it seems and kind of is like the next generation's Dragon Ball Z in a way. But, like, I would argue, I mean, even as somebody who grew up on Dragon Ball Z, I love Naruto's, like, the emotion of Naruto really eats Dragon Ball Z's lunch, because it is that thing. Like, that was one of the biggest things that kept me going through Naruto, was like, I felt really connected to like the struggles of these characters and everything. And realistically, as you grow up and you think about Goku in Dragon Ball Z, it's like, he's kind of a selfish dick. Like, he's funny and that's why we like him. But at the end of the day, like, do we like him all that much? And that's kind of like, that's kind of the big takeaway with Dragon Ball Z, like, is like,
we do like Goku. I'm not hear Goku slander in this household.
It's I mean, I say all that to say, if you haven't watched Naruto, go watch Naruto. It's actually surprisingly emotional and has some stuff in it.
No, it has a lot more depth than Dragon Ball. I think, I mean, Dragon Ball's like fight scenes are iconic for good and bad reasons, but the main point of Dragon Ball is literally it's Goku has just worked his way from being like a pretty strong kid on Earth to like, now I'm stronger than like the god who created the multiverse, like Neil kind of a thing. Yeah. And that's the story. And Naruto's offers a bit more of that, of the young outsider turned potential hero and so on and so forth.
Yeah. That's good. What else was there? There's some new reviews, new games coming out. Corey.
Yeah, a lot of new games are coming out right now.
You know, we don't have experience with any of them, so we can't really speak to them. But most recently, you know, as we're recording, this hasn't come out yet, but Wolong Fallen Dynasty comes out
today.
The Neo developers, like, answer to Sekiro comes out, and it's actually, like, getting some pretty hot praise, where
'80s on that.
But I mean, I've seen some that are like, no, this is legit, like, very good, like in the 9 plus range. Which, as some, I mean, like, you can't really not like, I never played Neo 2, but I played through Neo 1. Neo 1 is very good. Like, mm-hmm. it's maybe a little unnecessarily complicated when compared to like a From game in some ways, but like, They do a really good job. So it's not surprising in that regard. I think it's just like, apparently the world building and the lore and everything also really kills it. So people really like it. What else was there? Wild Hearts,
That's getting
Monster Hunter EA thing. Apparently it's Monster Hunter. Who knew? But yeah, people are pretty hot on that. They like it. Do you like Monster Hunter, Corey?
I've never played Monster Hunter. I feel like we've had this discussion before where we've like talked about, ooh, do I try to get Monster Hunter and we go full like Yoda Luke here and like you try to show me the ways.
But I know nothing about Monster Hunter.
I feel like you've played Monster Hunter before.
I've touched Monster Hunter, but I have...
So yeah, you are now Yoda, because I've never touched Monster Hunter.
I own Monster Hunter World and Rise, but I've put combined maybe like 2 or 3 hours into Monster Hunter.
This is what it was. You picked up Monster Hunter and you texted me like, you should pick up Monster Hunter. That way we can play together.
That may have been it.
And then it was like a year later, I'm like, oh, I have Monster Hunter. And he was like, I wish you would have told me you would have done this like a year ago. And I believe that's the conversation that happened.
Yeah, because whenever Monster Hunter World came out, like, I bought into the hype where it was just like, everybody was like, this is the thing. And I was like, I know I'm not going to play this unless somebody else plays it too. And then I just But then I bought into it and bought it and then just never played it. Like, I legitimately just have an unopened copy of Monster Hunter World that's worth like a penny.
Should that Monster Hunter World? Should that be our April bonus?
Oh God, no! That game is beefy.
It is very beefy.
Yeah. But I actually did play a little bit of Monster Hunter Rise. I don't know. Like it feels almost impenetrable. Like
it's daunting. Every time I look at it, I'm like, I can't. Yeah, I just can't.
So, you know, haven't like Wild Hearts looks cool, but it's Monster Hunter and that's not, it ain't me, babe.
It's not our cup of tea.
Yeah. On the other sides, of the Heart Spectrum, Atomic Heart also came out, getting, you know, fine reviews. This is the, Soviet cross BioShock thing. A lot of people have connected it. Like, I think the style of it, people kind of liken to BioShock, but I've heard a number of people compare it more to like the new Wolfenstein games.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably like a better comparison just because like Wolfenstein is what if it was like futuristic Nazis took over and this is like, what if futuristic Soviets took over and like that kind of thing. So it's more kind of like comparing some of that, but apparently it has some really neat stuff and it's also had some controversy given the world climate, currently, as you might imagine. But it's, I think most people are kind of like, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's imaginative. It's really interesting. Some of the things that it's doing, but at the end of the day, it's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've seen as well. And it's interesting with a lot of new releases coming out early right now, how a lot of them feel kind of in that range of it's just fine. And I wonder in a year of where Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Final Fantasy 16, those styles, like the Resident 4 remake coming as well, if these games would be getting a little bit more publicity or positive reviews without these impending massive titles. Just a thought.
Yeah, possibly.
I feel like a lot of them kind of like come and gone under the radar. Like, it's just like, oh, they're here. It's fine. You know, and then it's kind of just, that's it.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's a tough thing. I think like it helps again with Atomic Heart where like it's on Game Pass.
True.
So like I could hop on, I can play it. I can give it a shot. I probably will because, you know, given the, I wasn't too excited about it, probably wasn't going to buy it anyway, but it gives me the opportunity to check it out.
Form your own opinion.
Right. And I think that that's like a big thing is not that like people are throwing vaporware garbage onto Game Pass just to have something, but I think it allows people to kind of like take these bigger risks a la like Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush where they can just kind of throw these things out there and hopefully they stick. And if they don't, well, you know, at least it's not like completely dead. At least there's like potentially an install base that could rally it from the, you know, from the graveyard.
I know what you mean.
So yeah, that stuff's coming out. What else is coming out this month, Corey? It's March now.
March. GA is coming out.
That's coming out. We got
Jedi Fallen Order got delayed to April 29th, the week before Legend of Zelda, which is one of the things I'm like, ooh, yeah. I'm like, oh, why? I really wanted to play. I still might, but oh, man.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah. It's fortunate that I'm not super hyped for Jedi Survivor. Like I played what was the other one? Jedi Fallen Order. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I played that late. So I wasn't like right into the hype or anything, but like I played it and I was like, this is fine. You know, it's not anything incredible. Looking at it, Dead Cells Castlevania comes out next week. Oh, who knew? We also got
Resident Evil 4 remake.
Does that come out this month?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
MLB The Show 23.
What? That's your thing.
Hey, I have put in hundreds of hours to old MLB The Show games.
I don't know that I've ever played a MLB The Show. I played...
It's pretty good.
I mean, I've played plenty of like MLB games. I don't think I've ever played The Show, but... Who knows?
That really looks about kinda cool.
Yeah.
Nothing really big's coming, which honestly works. Pretty well for me, considering my current game juggling is ridiculous.
Yeah. You ready to talk about that, Corey? You want to dig in on that?
I do kind of want to.
That burrito?
I would like to, because I am juggling 1, 2, 3 games right now.
What? Who are you? Chris?
I don't know, man.
Oh, man, fire Chris out here preaching the word.
Oh.
Well, let's start with our main feature.
Go ahead. Sorry.
See?
I just like how you just...
You gotta be careful with this AI, because it throws you out of it, Chris. It throws you out of it, you know? Octopath 2. We have both played it, and...
Yep.
You're probably a bit farther than I am, but I'm still very excited.
How far in are you?
I have done 3 chapters.
Okay. So 3 chapters as in 3 chapter ones, not everybody's chapter 3.
No, I have done... I'll give you who I started with. I stuck with my demo pick of Throne, the thief. This Octopath. And then I went and got Oswald and did his chapter 1 and 2,
because
you have to do, you have to do his chapter 1 and 2. Yeah, Oswald, who has swore vengeance to Henry.
And is it Henry? I thought it was Harvey.
Is it Harvey? It might be Harvey. I'm bad with names.
Could be Harry. Who knows?
No, it's either Henry or Harvey. I think it's Henry.
It's probably Harry. Horace.
It's Harvey.
Maybe. Harvey. Look at that.
Harvey. Yeah.
All right.
Yes, it is Harvey.
Get him, Oswald.
Yep. And I've done those 3 chapters.
Okay. Okay, so you've done 3 chapters, but you have only done Throne and Oswald because of the 2 chapters. Okay, gotcha. Yes. So I'm on Oswald's chapter 1. He is my 6th character.
Jesus.
Currently. I started with Particio.
Is he the merchant?
He's the merchant. Yeah. Whenever I was looking through it, I was like, you know, he seems pretty neat. So I kind of want to see his whole vibe, and it tracked that I played as, can't even remember her name, Tressa. In the first one, who was also the merchant. So it gave me a little bit of comparison. So I did Particio and then Agnia, who's the dancer. I went and got Hikari, who's the warrior.
Yep.
I got Cassidy, who is the apothecary. And then Odetta, maybe. She's the hunter. Yep. Then up to Oswald. So I'm working my way around. Gotcha. Throne could very well be my last character, just by the arc of things. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're unaware of the structure of Octopath, it's very much like you pick a character and then your character wanders the world and finds these other characters to take along with them on their adventure. They all travel together and you effectively like move around and can play the game as you want. Like you can if you want to just pick a character and never find anybody else, never recruit Correct. Anybody yeah. else, tell everybody, no, I don't want you here, and just play through the entire game, do their whole story, beat the final boss, if you can manage that, and be done and never see anything else. So the positive in that is that there's a lot of flexibility. You can, like, you can make a lot of these choices as you recruit these characters. You choose where you want to go. So, I mean, if it's very much like you're really invested in this thief's story, you can seek out, like, her chapter 2 and her chapter 3 and her, like, progress her story along and see this back to back to back. The downside is that it makes everything disconnected.
Yes.
Because everything, the game has to allow for the fact that maybe you didn't recruit this character. So we can't reference this character. This character can't be here making big sweeping decisions in another character's story if it's possible that they weren't recruited at all. So it's very, like, each of the stories are very standalone. And it's very much as if the other characters aren't there, which is kind of a negative in the overarching story, but the big, you know, the big, like, redeemer in that is that all of the individual stories usually are, like, range from pretty good to pretty awesome. So yeah, that's how it's kind of working, is like you do everybody's chapter one and then you progress, and, you know, the ideal kind of arc to it is you do everybody's chapter two and then you do everybody's chapter three, because everything's like level, you know, they're in higher level areas and whatever. But you can work your way around and do whatever you want. But yeah.
Yes.
How are you feeling about it? I feel
really good about it. Because I went and looked at my play time and I put in about 30 hours into the first one. So,
okay.
Not a full amount, cause it's probably about a 70, 80 hour game, but, that's
yeah.
with end game stuff included. So I probably did about yeah. half. If I remember right, I got through about half of everyone's chapter threes before okay. I kind of got to the point where I was a little done with it. To go into it, I mean, I love this art style, this 2D, 3D, this engine that they use, the 16-bit, it's phenomenal. I'm a huge fan of it, from Octopath 1 to Octopath 2. I feel like they've really shorn up the environments. I feel like the world itself, it just has more going on to it. Feels like it's just more lived in compared to the first one, where the towns and cities are still, like, it was still very well drawn, very well written. This, especially when you get to, let's say, when you get to Thronaise, the city that she's in feels very expansive, and there's more and more layers to it compared to some of the cities from the first one, which felt very thin, very like, this is like the only things happening here, while now it feels like, okay, you're just in a pocket of a much larger area. So I appreciate that. I think the music is phenomenal. And to say, I think they are improvements off the first one, which is really tough, I think, because the first game does so much of what I've described so far very well. It's wonderful just to see it's taken that next step in this game type's development. But yeah, I am loving it. I think the writing is really tight. The combat is what it was from the first one. And if you like the first one, you're going to like this one, because its combat is just snappy. It's tight. It offers some depth to it. And yeah, right now I'm big on it.
Yeah, it's very old school in its, like, sensibilities, like old school Final Fantasy, but like the big, I think, differentiator is that it has its whole, like, weakness and break system yes. thing, where you're playing into, like, every enemy has some range of weakness. It could just be like one or two things, or they could be weak against like five or six things. And when using a weapon or an elemental art that is like a weakness of theirs, it like gradually breaks their shield and then prevents them from acting on turns or can interrupt attacks. And so it's a very, and it They're deals weaker. More damage, and it's like, yep. Right. And so it's like this big positive push, and it feels like the game has a lot more kind of like strategic moves for that. Like they're more, if I could be wrong, but I feel like there are more moves that just like blanketly will take down shields, where it's like, you know, Agnia, for instance, has like a move that will just do damage to them, and regardless of what their weakness is, it will tick down a point on their shield. Yep. Like characters have that, which feels new in that way. And I feel like, you know, the game probably, as is the case with games like this, will probably like scale to match that. It's not going to be like, oh, now the game's just a whole lot easier. It's going to be, oh, well, there's a reason that it's like that, because like these other areas are going to be a whole lot harder. But it's very like, if you're really into strategic, old school JRPGs, I mean, it's that for sure. So
I think also they've, with the characters, I feel there's more depth into each of the characters, because before they all fell into they're called jobs or roles, but you know, the caricatures of a hunter, a warrior, the scholar who's a mage, your cleric who's the healer and all and whatnot. And I feel like this time they've either doubled down or tried to change up a little bit of what that looks like. And they've added more abilities too, based on like the day and night cycle that they've implemented. So Throne, I think you'll appreciate this. She has different day and night abilities, and you have different day and night abilities depending on like your social like abilities that you can do. But for Throne, like at night, she's just much stronger, and she gets to go twice. She has a special ability that lets her go twice again, I believe it is.
Okay.
Her speed's faster at night, so she's going to go more often at night. But in Octopath 2, all characters now have a special ability compared to 1, where they were just kind of stuck in like this class idea. Now it's, hey, here's this cool thing that they can do. And for Throne, she gets to just go twice. And so I can be like,
yeah,
all right, she's going twice this turn. I'm going to break this shield. And now I'm going to use my BP points to just up my dark damage to lay absolute pain. And it adds a whole nother layer to it. And someone like Oswald, where before most magic is a area of effect, it targets all creatures or all targets. He now has a thing where he can take any of his magic that's all an area attack and single target it, and it does more damage doing that. So you can have enemy shields breaking, like, okay, now I'm going to supercharge this bad boy, single like target an enemy with it, and just absolutely decimate them. And so I'm excited to see what the other classes look like, but this, it's just more individuality with the characters, where before it was good writing. You knew what you were getting when you picked your characters in Octopath 1. And I feel like this time around, they're offering just like more flavor to it, more care, like in the weeds of the character, more design there, where you're really getting to know them. When before it's, well, the thief, well, yeah, he's a thief. Like, that's his whole vibe. That's his shtick. That is all he's into. And this time around, there's just more. And I'm really appreciating, like, it feels like they heard a lot of the complaints in terms of the first game, and they've rectified, or I don't want to say rectified, but they're like, we hear you, we're going to make those better for 2.
Yeah. And it's largely possible. There's a lot of, I feel like, even though there's probably like an instinct to look at Octopath 2 and be like, well, it looks so much like Octopath 1. Did they really do much to it? And yeah, I think they, because real, like, I played through all of Octopath, and in Octopath 1, I mean, spoiler sort of, you know, you gain the ability later to multi-class, and there are also some secret classes that turn up. And like, there's a lot of strategy that feeds into being able to pair these up and do these kind of things. But even too, like, it felt like there was almost kind of a right answer in what you did. Like, you wanted to kind of play this certain way and pair these certain classes up because you were filling certain gaps. And there's going to be some of that, but I feel like because of their extra latent abilities, because of their day and night abilities, because it was one of those things where it was like, since there was only, everybody only had one like world action ability, it was like, okay, well, I need somebody who can do one of everything. I need somebody who can fight people. I need somebody who can like buy something from people. I need somebody who can lure people. Like I need, and now everybody, there's a lot more range of who can do what, and everybody can do something. So it feels a lot more like they're incentivizing you to be like, who do you like? Play with the people you like. Now, granted, word of warning, everybody, having played through the first one, characters do not scale in level if you're not playing with them. So just be aware, if you plan on going through everybody's story, give everybody some fun time, or else you're going to hit it and somebody is going to be very underleveled.
Yes, so and you will be grinding suddenly.
Make sure you're swapping around and enjoying the full breadth of your people. But yeah, I'm interested in the different archetypes, because yeah, the first one had very basic, like you had your very super innocent cleric girl, you had your professor scholar, you had your mysterious thief man, you had your big beefy knight.
The only one who broke the mold was the dancer from the first one. What was her name? Primrose.
Primrose. Yep.
Yeah, she broke the mold where it's like, oh, she's the dancer, and her is like, I'm on a quest for vengeance. I will slaughter anyone who tries to stop me.
And
she
had legitimately like one of the best stories and was one of my favorite characters by the end. But yeah, I mean, with this, it's very much like, you know, Hikari is the warrior, but he's like, it's more kind of like a Japanese aesthetic, and he has a whole like, his isn't like, I'm a fallen knight. It's, you know, he's a prince trying to like save his kingdom and do all this. And Oswald is a scholar mage who's been imprisoned and is trying to break out of prison. Is a lot more gruff and like, you know, isn't just like a straight laced scholar guy. And, you know, I mean, it's all stuff where it falls within that archetype, but it all feels like they're twisting it around somewhat to make these tropes and archetypes more compelling and interesting, rather than it just being, oh, it's the same people again, just with different names. So that's nice.
And to touch on the writing, I do know that there are side quests where your characters will overlap and interact and like have meaningful interactions, which I think is a big thing, because that was what really got me from the first one. I mean, we talked about it, was just the lack of interaction, the lack of acknowledgement outside of these incredibly odd, like two line, like brief snippets of dialogue between characters. It's really nice to see that, like, okay, we understand that people will want more than that. And so here are like quests and missions where these characters are actually going to acknowledge each other, actually like work together for an achievable goal outside of the very end game. And it just feels more natural to have these eight different characters that you're exploring the world with, like recognize each other and at least know each other's names.
And the, and I hope too that there's, cause, Octopath 1 did have an overarching story that did have some overlap, and it did have like a true quote unquote ending that had more overlap. And so, you know, I hope overall there's a little bit more of that, maybe, but if there's not, I'm still interested in where these old characters go.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to hear more once you get a little bit further. Corey, what else have you been playing? What else have you been juggling, apparently?
Welp. So for Octopath, I went and I played the demo, and then I actually only picked up my actual copy of it this week, mainly because I got caught up playing another game. And what I'm juggling right now. I've been off. Sorry, that's wrong accent. I've been off in Radlandia with Ollie Ollie World and just shredding the gnar out. No, I've been playing tons of Ollie Ollie World and I'm in deep
love with it. Would you like me to, you keep talking. I'm gonna make an AI of you saying that.
Do it.
That way you don't have to
it.
Say it again.
Okay, I love it. So I picked up, it's kind of always been on my periphery because I've heard good things about it. And then it came to the PlayStation subscription. And I was like, let's check this out. I've heard some good things. So I picked it up and immediately I'm like, oh, I love this. The way it's just so self-loving of its genre, maybe in an ironic way, maybe not in an ironic way. I don't know. I don't skate. Do you skate? Flip side from going. Do you skate? If you've seen the video, you know exactly what I'm talking about. where it's just like you are searching for the four skate gods. They need a new skate wizard. And is that you? And they're testing you as you are just carving up like the beachside and through the woods. And I'm loving it. So to kind of describe what Ollie Ollie World is, you create your own character. Again, like I said, the four skate gods need a new skate wizard. That's you. And you are being tested by the current skate wizard and some other very famous skaters. And so the game is only use two buttons. X is to propel yourself forward on the skateboard, and then you use the two analog sticks to do all of your tricks and jumps. Yeah. And that is quite literally the game, and it gets into a full, as the game progresses, it teaches you how to do everything, and it slowly adds more and more challenge to the point where I'm at now, I'm in the second area. I am like flicking both of my thumbs like as fast as I can as I go from grinding on a rail to wall grinding back to a rail to a huge jump that I have to like time my jump off of the wall right precisely. Otherwise, I'm going to get wrecked while also trying to pull off a trick combo, so on and so forth. And it is just so compelling. It has me like I'm a fish on a fine line of bait, and I am hooked, line, and sunk.
Look at you. Sorry.
Play it. Yeah.
I was trying to lead into it. Here you go.
I've been out here in Radlandia, bro, shredding the gnar, getting that booty, doing them tricks, man.
That was good. Yeah.
It is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I get too into this, and it breaks my host mentality. I need to get better. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. You're good, man. I'm just here for the good times, man.
Yeah.
I played
Ollie Ollie World. I didn't play, you're further than I ever got into it, but I played it beginning of last year and also really enjoyed it because it's very like, it's super stylish and it's a lot of fun. And
the
like,
music's so good.
What are you playing on?
Playing on the PlayStation 5 and the haptic feedback, like through the controller, as like all the sound comes through the controller of the skate. Ooh. So good. So you have like it's atmospheric, just like lo-fi hip hop playing at all times through the TV, and then it's just all the grind noises, all the flips, the wheels hitting the ground. Everything is all coming through the controller, and it's so good. It like just floods my senses as I'm playing.
Yeah. I played it on Switch, which in retrospect may not have been like great because like in my head I was like, okay, this is like it's perfect, just kind of thing that I can play while watching something, whatever. But the Switch version like notably had some like, you know, long load times and kind of like stuttering issues and stuff, which is not like...
Interesting.
In most cases it wasn't bad. It just like wasn't super smooth and I think kind of detracted from that a little bit. It may be worth going back and playing it again on a PlayStation.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it is really good. Like, it is one of those things in a similar way to like why I really love like the Trials games,
mm-hmm.
where it is like, it's a little less that way because like in the Trials, it's almost kind of like a puzzle in certain aspects, but like it is one of those things where just like, there's something really cool about going in this 2D side-scrolling fast sports space, doing some tricks, doing cool stuff, like really just kind of like feeling cool when us ourselves are not, I can't really speak for you, but like, you know, me, I'm not coordinated enough to much of a skateboard. Mm-mm. I got weirdly into longboarding whenever I was in college.
Didn't
like
everybody?
Obsessed over it. And yeah, and then got a longboard. And 4 days after it, gashed my body up so bad that I like couldn't move for days and then just never rode one again. And
like everybody else.
Yeah. So games like this let me vicariously live through that. And there's something nice, like, again, it has a very Adventure Time style to it. So it's you know, gets out of what I think is one of the, like, don't write me an email. It's no offense, but like, I don't love the skater aesthetic. Like it's kind of like, it reminds me a lot of the gamer aesthetic in a similar way where it's like, it doesn't feel like it's grown or changed or evolved in any sort of meaningful way. Like the skater vibe and aesthetic feels like something from the early 2000s that's just never adapted.
Yeah.
In the same way that gaming like still feels like it's this very antiquated like culture where IKEA comes out with a new gamer chair, you know what that thing's going to look like.
Oh yeah.
And it ain't going to be pretty.
Nope.
And that, like, having a game like this that's very big, bright colors, and it's still tapping into that with a lot of its vocabulary and a lot of like its lore, quote unquote, it still just feels like a breath of fresh air. And there's something nice about that.
Yeah, no, everything about it's so good. I've made an old man that he has white, like curly long hair with the mustache glasses, but I have him dressed as like, with like blue short shorts, like high tube socks, flat Vans, an orange t-shirt, and like a bucket hat. But
yeah,
I'm in my mind like, oh, this is just an old man who's shown up and like, you're the new skate wizard. And I'm like, you're right, kids. I am the new skate wizard. For me, the biggest thing that's like really captured me is the idea of the perfect run. And so every level, it rewards you for doing it in one go, essentially. And on the PS5, the reload time is so fast. I just hit triangle and I'm immediately back at the start, like instantaneously. Yep. And the thrill of getting an entire run down perfectly, like memorizing the course or not even memorizing it, just getting it, just flying through it and hitting every trick, grinding, like getting every combo, everything, just making it look as smooth and frankly cool as possible is just electrifying. And it's one of those things where I can like, okay, I'm going to do this course. It could take me 2 minutes. It could take me 20 minutes, but it's like such an easy hop in, hop out kind of a game as well. Like, all right, I'm going to boot up some Olly Olly World while like I'm waiting before we go get coffee. Like my wife's still getting ready. I'm like, ooh, I bet I got like 5-10 minutes. I bet I can get a couple runs in really quick. And that's been so much of it. Like before work, sit down, like, ooh, I don't have to leave for like another 10 minutes. Let me get a couple runs in. And it's so much of that. I'm loving it to death. Gosh, it's so good. It's so freaking good.
It is really good. Yeah. I wish I had played it more, and I wish you had gotten the chance to play it last year because it could have been a really big, like, goatee conversation.
It would have been. I think right now, I think it would have been on the goatee list. Maybe He would probably be in the 10 to 6 range. Maybe would have snuck in at 5. Because it's very difficult, but it's so simple, which I think can be the hallmark of a lot of really good games, but there isn't much more to it outside of like the straight gameplay of it. But the straight gameplay is so good. It's just good. Huge fan of it. I will be playing it for a while. I imagine this is, I'll see it through and then I might go full like a little crazy. Let me like 100% every course kind of a thing.
Yeah. I love it. What is the biggest, coolest trick that you've pulled off, Corey?
I kicked a 450 duty Flopper Deluxe Mega Whopper Supreme, bro. It clapped, man.
That's probably exactly what I was going to say. That is probably identical to whatever I was going to say. You know me very well.
No, look at you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, there's this one. It took me forever to get because every track has a gnarly route where it wants you to like, okay, here's the regular course, but if you want a little more difficulty, do this. And there was one where it's, you pull off like these jumps to wall rides to jumps, a couple half pipe things, and then it goes into this gargantuan leap to this huge wall ride. And if you don't get it high enough, you are absolutely going to eat it on the landing because you won't go far enough. And so it took me forever to, because I'm trying to do this all in one run, and to get it all the way back there, get like the jumps right, because you go like these three different grind rails down to this thing, you leap off this kind of shallow ramp, you ride it for a long time, and then you land it into another like quick grind wall ride to finish. And once I nail that, I'm like, that is the greatest run of tricks or whatever I will do for this entire game. Because once I landed it, I did it perfectly. It was, again, it's exhilarating.
Oh, goodness, Corey. You're gonna make me get this on what? It's included with PlayStation Plus.
That's what I'm telling you.
What?
It's free.
Oh, my God. Am I going to get it?
I'm telling
you. Beat all your high scores, Corey?
I don't know. There was one course. It might have been that one because I just memorized it so much. I was getting to a point where if I didn't have like 40,000 on my score point at this point, I'm like, oh, this is a bad run triangle. No, I'm going right back.
They're also coming out with, not coming out. They came out with some DLC back in the fall.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to get them on this, I think.
Yeah, you are. I'm going to send you a photo of my old man skate wizard.
I love it.
He's sick. I love him to death. Yeah. It reminds me of, it's the meme with the guy at the skateboard. Can't remember his name, but he's in The Sopranos.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi. Yeah, he's in the season of The Sopranos. Yeah, it's whatever he says. That's the vibe I'm trying to give.
Hello, fellow kids.
Fellow kids. Yeah, that's him.
fellow youths. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah, you are.
I think I'm gonna pop in and give it a try.
Yeah.
Oh no, I hate it. I can't.
I'm so excited.
But I'm gonna do it. I think. Okay. Well. Have you been playing anything else, Corey?
I've been still playing on my Persona 4 Golden Run.
Playing that.
Yeah.
Whose palace are you in?
I'm on the second one now. So
okay. So Kanji?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look at you. So,
making my way.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Between that, because there's nothing really coming out that I mean, we talked about it till Jedi Survivor / Legend of Zelda that I'm super like, I'm going to pick this up. I'm going to pick up Like a Dragon Ishin. Here. I don't know when, honestly, but sometime. But before Jedi Survivor, I'm going to pick it up before probably the end of March is probably my goal. But I'm like, okay, let's finish Persona 4 Golden. we got to get through Octopath. We don't need to get through Octopath. I want to see how far I get before I get to, you know.
Before you get bored.
it was more, you know, in Octopath 1, I feel like once you got to about everyone's chapter 3, it's like, okay, I know what this game's doing. Do I want to see the rest of these stories? And for me, in that one, I didn't really want to. I feel like you get a lot in the early on in the first like chapter for most of them.
You do. I mean, I would say that there's some really neat like final acts to some of those stories.
I believe it.
But you do. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, it can, in the middle of Octopath, those, like, second, third chapters can kind of feel like they're dragging.
Yeah, and so we'll see. I have every intention to finish it, but you never know. But I'll do that, get Like a Dragon Isshin, and then aim for Jedi Survivor and be like, do I grind this in a week? Because that's the mindset.
Yeah. Well, you didn't love Breath of the Wild at the start. You don't have to get into it immediately.
No. We had this conversation. I want to get into it immediately. That's the whole thing. It's the first Zelda release. Like, I'm excited for. I want to get into it day one. Because it gives me vibes similar to like Elden Ring in terms of I came into Elden Ring late, but when it first released, like the whole discovery that was happening on Elden Ring and online and all of like the shared experiences was so captivating. I'm just like on the outside of the house looking through the window, like, that looks neat. Yeah. I want to be on the inside of the house for the release here. And so
it's a cool place to be.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
It's a day one pick.
Yeah. Sweet. Corey. Yeah, I am.
You've been playing stuff, though.
Yeah, well, Octopath was the big one to hit. For me, I think, like, in the lead up to Tears of the Kingdom, there is a little bit of a lull. Like, I would like to play Wolong. Whether or not it's right away, I don't know that I'm in for that level of stress in my life right now. Who knows, but, I might play that. But it could be a good opportunity to revisit some stuff, which I did. I went back and played a couple of things in between, whenever I finished Hi-Fi Rush and, started Octopath. I played a couple of things. Namely, I played Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, which I had been meaning to play for years. Because I have like a Notion board that shows me like games that are in my library and breaks it down by like, how long should it take me to finish this? And that's like at the top of the list because it's not all that long. I think it ended up taking me like 4 hours.
Nice.
Yeah, I think like the how long to beat is like more like 8, okay. But it was in the like the 4 to 5 range. Yeah. It was fine. Like I love Dishonored. But it is one of those things where it feels more like a DLC to Dishonored 2 than a whole standalone thing. And by that I mean like it. As somebody who has not played Dishonored 2 in like 4 or 5 years, I was a little lost on a couple of things, and it didn't seem privy to really like clue me in. I mean, not that I needed more information to play the game. It's just as a person who really like, I think Dishonored's lore is magnificent. Like one of the most like just fulfilling, rich stories and lore kind of like collections of a game there is. Like, I think it's just really interesting. And so for me, like I wanted to really be immersed in this. And it felt like I was a little at arm's reach just because it was expecting me to remember a lot of stuff that I had forgotten. Dishonored Death of the Outsider. For those of you who don't know, you play as a character named Billy Lurk, who is like a she's kind of like a unseen accomplice to one of the antagonists in the first game. She plays kind of a side character in the second game. Okay. You play her in this game. She's kind of an assassin character, and she's like, her whole thing is to kill effectively the god of this like universe, essentially.
I love it. Sounds like an anime.
A god, a figure. And it's like, again, very interesting. Like, there's a lot of that stuff. It is just, you know, it's a very specific thing. Like, all of the motivations, everything that's going into it is very rooted in stuff that has happened previously.
Okay.
So you are, you know, it isn't a game that you can just, Corey, if today you were like, hey, I want to go play Death of the Outsider, it's not gonna be as fulfilling an experience for you if you haven't played the first or second. But no, I mean, Dishonored games are good. They just, like, they play really well. They're really interesting. And I think one of the freeing things about playing Death of the Outsider was, like, the first two games I was so, and like stealth games in general, I'm so reluctant to have like a messy path where like I'm killing some people or I'm getting alerted. And like, it feels like I'm always trying to like really max it out. Like never kill anybody, never be spotted. And it felt like, I think lore wise, since she's already, she has a dark past. Right. I was like, you know what? I feel fine going through and like killing some people and knocking out some people. And like, I'm not going to kill an innocent person, but I might kill that guy. Yeah. And it made me, like, it allowed me to kind of use her kit a little bit more, which was fun because there were some, like, there were some pieces of equipment that I just never really used. Like, there are these razor wire mines that essentially, like, whenever they trip, they just spin with these like razor wires that just shred the person who tripped it. you never really get to use those if you're playing a non-lethal path. There's like another one that's like a gravity mine that like sucks a person's limb to it whenever they become like, it has a non-lethal mode, but if you do the lethal mode, it just rips their arm off.
That's and awesome.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, like, had fun being able to do some of those things. Again, if you never played Dishonored, play Dishonored. It's very good.
Fine.
And unfortunately, they're probably not going to come out with a new Dishonored in a very long time, and they should. But you know, play it.
I've never played Dishonored.
Yeah, you should.
I should.
They're available. You can play them.
I'll do that.
The other game that I played, so I also was like, you know what? Maybe I'll check out Hitman's Freelancer mode. The Freelancer mode is the...
I've been playing Hitman. Yeah.
Yeah, the Freelancer mode is their, like, roguelike mode that effectively, like, it has a... It's actually, like, kind of robust in how it sets it up, but essentially it you're playing through... Because Hitman now is like just one big bundle where all three of the games are bundled together. And it's like you're going through and you have this overarching thing of you're trying to find this, like, this top guy, but you have to go through some of these other, like, I don't really know the word, like, other agents kind of below him to kind of like find the information, quote unquote. But the big hook is like anybody. Nobody's safe. Anybody could have been recruited into these people. So, you know, every mission's a mystery. And it's basically kind of like setting itself up to be, you go into these missions and literally your target could be anybody. Your target could be a maid, a random maid in the kitchen. She could be your target. And maybe you're supposed to poison her with, who knows? Like, a secret piranha poison that can only be found in this side lake thing. And so it's like, it's an interesting thing because most of it is like random characters. Like, you're walking through it and you're passing within just like arm's reach of like your original targets. You're just walking past them.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you're having these other targets that you're supposed to chase down, but like you're having to think about how to get to them in ways that you never really would have to before. Cause it's like, why would I need to figure out how to kill this maid quietly? Right. Like, there's no point. Why would I need to think about it? But now she's surrounded by seven other maids, and now I got to figure out how to do this thing. And so it's like, it's really intense. I did a little bit of it, and then I realized, I was like, I have not played enough Hitman to do this well, because I felt very out of my element, where I was like, I have no clue. Because like the whole approach is like, you need to know these maps. You need to know like where their routes are. You need to know how you can get some of this poison or this weapon or this thing or whatever. I was like, I don't know. So I went back and played, since all of them are loaded onto my Hitman 3 disc, I was like, I'll go play the original run, the original season one stuff again. So I did. I played through Sapienza, and I played through, you know, Thailand and Morocco and all of these, and had a blast. Like, it was just, it's fun. It's just, it's, you know, fun. I mean, it's just a really good, Hitman's just really good. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where you go through, and even if you're not really, you don't feel like you're all that creative, you know, it gives you, it kind of walks you through it. It gives you these kind of story beats where it's like, okay, you can see these kind of like small things through. And then like, if you really want to go at it, if you really want to get weird with this, you can go figure out some extra stuff. You can make him die because he hit an exploitable golf ball. You can make him die because you shot him with a cannon. You know, you can do these things, but we'll get you started. We'll just kind of, we'll walk you through a little bit, get your feet wet. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, again, in a similar way to Ali Ali World, like, I feel like one of my biggest hangups with certain games, and probably why I didn't get like super, super into Ali Ali World at the time, was because it was like, well, besides my own pride, who am I competing against here?
Exactly. Yeah.
And whenever and that was the thing that was clicking whenever you were talking about Ali Ali World, was, I was like, well, I mean, I can beat Corey now. I was like, that can be a goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of feels the same thing with like Hitman, where it's like, if you have, I feel like if you have some friends who play it, who are like, for some reason, they're like, oh no, they know this level. Yeah. They have like this ridiculous score in this level. I need to figure out, I need to get that. I need to make that happen. I need to figure out how I can beat them at this. Stuff like that is a good motivator to really like chasing those leaderboards and doing those things. I'm saying that to say, Corey, get into Hitman. And maybe you'll make me get more into Hitman.
I want to. There's a YouTube channel I watch, and every now and then one of the guys on there will play Hitman and make the others play Hitman. And he it's insane. And like, he's played hundreds of hours of it, and he's incredible. And he'll be like coaching them through it. And he's like, no. You want to put on the bartender uniform, because no one expects the bartender making drinks. So here's what you're going to put on the bartender uniform. You're going to spike that drink, because they're going to come by and pick that drink. They always pick up that drink every time at the beginning of this loop. You're going to go back there. You're going to change it out. You're going to put on this uniform. That way you can sneak through the garage. You're going to take out this guy, switch into his uniform once you're outside the garage. I'm just like, how much of this game have you played? How do you know?
Yeah.
And then like, anytime they'd get a little offbeat, he's like, okay, we're going to like plan B. Here's what you want to do from here. And it's just like, wait, what? And he... it's like seeing someone who knows something so well and is so good at it. I was like, I would love to be that good at Hitman, because it just looks so cool and so fun when he does it.
Well, and it's one of the fun things, because Dishonored has, like, maybe in less of a way, but like immersive sim games like this have that nature about them, where there is a level of logic to it that does make it really fun to learn a lot of those inner workings, because it is a thing where it's like, you can learn a lot of that stuff. You can go through and you can just figure, but like, there's also just an amount of logic where it's like, you can go to this map and it's like, okay, I need to get into that area. Like, there's this exclusive area. There's a guy back there I need to get to, but the guy at the gate says that I need a pass. How am I going to get in there? And it's like, well, if I got a waiter uniform, he'll let me go because I'm just taking drinks.
Yeah.
Right. I don't need a pass. I'm just taking, and of course, like, he's going to let you through. And it's like, all right, that worked. I guess that makes sense. And like, and that's how the game works across the board, where it's just like, yeah, it's like, it, if you think, if there's a, like, if you think there's some logic to this working, there probably is. So, you know, and if you think there's a logic to why this could be bad, there's also, that's also probably going to happen as well. Played a little bit of that and then, and I'll come back and play it a little bit more. That's the nice thing about Hitman is that it's always there for me. It's always on my PlayStation. It just sits there, along with, at least according to what I'm looking at now, Fortnite is also on there. Fork Knife and Genshin Impact, apparently.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Checks out, though.
Yeah, I've played very little Genshin Impact, and I've played more Fortnite, but not in years. So,
yeah.
I did re-download Fortnite. Because they did the whole like Unreal 5 update, and I've heard that it's like really, it's really neat looking now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, and also they have the no build mode, which I'm also would be super hyped about. I just haven't played it yet.
Yet. Next week.
Yeah. Yet.
Chris plays Fortnite.
But yeah, Corey, what else you got for me?
That's about all I have for this week, I think. I don't have anything more. Me and my wife have been watching Succession. So good.
You haven't watched Succession before?
No, we're in season two.
Oh, really? Okay.
So good.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it yet, but we've been watching The Last of Us weekly. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point.
We'll talk about it when I've watched an episode.
They got two more episodes left. So it's very good, very faithful adaptation. A couple minor changes here and there, but nothing that really breaks like away from what it's done. The biggest one was the Bill and Frank storyline, which I think it was actually done much better than in the game. It's cool. You should watch it because I would love to talk about it. Maybe that's our April pod, bonus pod.
We'll have I'll watch it eventually. I think it's listen to any one of our episodes to hear my opinions.
Oh, I know.
The Last of Us.
Likes it. He's just a little tired.
I'm a little tired of it. And it's also like, I do have trouble with bleakness in my media. Like I do have some trouble with, I like effective with an A, like stories that will affect me, stories that like have meaning and see growth and all of these things. I just don't love them when they're bleak. And it's why I don't love, like, you know, there are plenty of genres of, or like periods of movies and stuff that I don't love just because like that is the entire vibe of them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really you can do about that. And it's the thing with The Last of Us is, love The Last of Us, but The Last of Us is unbearably bleak. And that's the tough thing. That's why I haven't jumped on it. It's just like, I know, I'm very interested in seeing this. I think it's, a lot of people have been very hyped about it. And rightfully so. It's just, it's bleak.
It is bleak. It's been wonderful to see it through someone. My wife has never, like, she doesn't know she knows like some of the bigger plot points, doesn't know some of the bigger plot points, but it's been really cool to see her like watching it and like certain moments where she's just like, okay, like this was a video game, looking at me. I'm like, yeah. So, there's been plenty of time where I'm like, okay. this doesn't end well. I need you to know that ahead of time because it's really bad.
Mentally prepare for what's about to happen.
Literally, I've had to been like, this goes actually really bad. So I'm not spoiling it other than that, but I would just go ahead and prepare yourself for that.
Yeah.
And she's been thankful for those of like, glad I knew because that was very bad.
Yeah.
And that's the bleakness.
Yeah. That would be the big point for me is like seeing it through my wife's eyes, because like I do remember I have like I was gonna say the same thing twice. I was gonna say I do remember, and I have memories of when we were dating, like the remastered on the PS4, not to be confused with the remake on the PS5. Or the remastered on PS5. But I played that and was playing that like with her. Like, I think the only time that I was playing it was like whenever I would bring my PS4 over to her place, and she was like actually kind of into it, like seemed, which is not like super common for her. She's not like super into that games. Just as a blanket kind of thing. But that would be the thing is I think she could be really into that story.
Yeah.
In the right medium. So that would be the big thing that I would enjoy seeing is seeing that through her eyes and seeing her like what her thoughts would be on some of like some big plot points.
Oh, yeah. Y'all should watch it.
We will
pod with them.
Yeah, we just finished watching Outer Banks.
So, nice. Yeah. Haven't seen a lick of it.
Really?
No.
Yeah, not to keep making this episode longer than it has to be, but Outer Banks is fun. Yeah. I mean, it's
very popular.
Yeah, we watched it primarily because we have some family who are super into it. Yeah. Namely, like a teenage girl niece. Yeah. Who's like really into it. It also helps that it's set. I mean, it's shot in our home state and takes place like very close to us. So, I mean, there's some familiarity there. But you know, it's a teen show.
Yeah.
But it also has a lot of like elements of kind of some Indiana Jones or Uncharted, like that kind of stuff, where it's like very treasure hunty, and there are a lot of neat elements in that regard. So we, it is a lot better than you think it should be.
Oh, I believe that. I mean, it's made it to season 3 in current Netflix climate. That means it is an absolute hit.
Yeah. If you're looking for fun, that's there. It exists. Hmm.
Let's see. What else? I've also been watching Drive to Survive, the Formula One show on Netflix.
Oh, look at you.
It's phenomenal.
I have not.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching the new season because I've watched all the other seasons before.
Okay. Look at you.
Yeah. Because I loosely followed F1 last year, and now like watching this, I'm like, okay, yeah, they have announced it. And you're like, am I going to watch F1 this year?
Am I getting into F1 or am I doing this?
Is this happening? I think it's happening. Crap, it's happening. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Look at you. I love it. Corey, this episode has been a long one.
Double chungus.
It's been a double chungus, but that's what it is sometimes. I'm excited for next week to hear more Octopath talk. Yeah. We may have other things.
We missed a couple of things this week on our rundown. I'm sitting here, Chris.
Yeah, we did. We didn't talk about, there was Final Fantasy 16 coverage recently. There were, who knows?
What else? You read a new book?
I did.
Most video games.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I did. I want to talk about that. I finished the Reggie Fils-Aimé biography, which was really good. Had a lot of cool insights about Nintendo. Talk about it next week.
Yep. A little
teasy tease for you. Stuff.
It'll be fun.
They're happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Corey, until then, where can people find you on the internet?
please go find me over on Instagram at #SlingingThrasher, on Twitter at StayThrashy, but always, and most importantly, follow our Twitter account at @arcade_cozy. Where can they find you, Chris?
You can find me at 4PointPixel on Instagram, at SwissFunJoe on Twitter. I've also signed up for the beta for Jack Dorsey's Blue Sky, the new decentralized Twitter. When I get into there, SwissFunJoe, find me on Blue Sky. Maybe. I don't know. You can find us at Arcade Cozy on Instagram as well. You can email us, arcadecozy@gmail.com. Questions, concerns, comments, anything.
Please.
Intro, outro music by Johnny Be Good. Johnny Gibbood. 89 on Instagram. Corey's robot voice brought to us by 11labs.io. Check them out today.
Sure.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Corey?
My money don't jiggle.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
But yeah, Corey, this has been an episode.
Yes, it has.
This has been Arcade Cozy.
Life is hectic.
Why should your hobbies be too? Yeah.
GGMU. Love you guys.
Bye bye. Yeah.
Oh man, fire Chris out here preaching the word.
Oh my God. Cut it. It's over. Bye bye. We're done.